Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. Our vast network. Nobody tops the Dom Patrol out there. Just sent me from the Doylestown patch. Doylestown will be one of the sites of the drop boxes. Oh, right there next to Starbucks, maybe? It'll be home to one of the three ballot drop-off locations in Bucks County starting October 5th. What? Oh, between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Hours will be extended as Election Day nears starting on October 27th. The boxes will be available 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, noon to 5 on Saturday and Sunday. See, in Philadelphia, they're not going with any of that stuff. They're going right down Broadway. Drop boxes all over the place, mobile and otherwise. Vote early and vote often, and you'll be able to drop it in there 24/7 unless we stop them. George Perry is our go-to guy when we talk about stuff, like Bill Cosby, thorny legal issues that come up. Wanted to see what he had to say today after much time to take a look at Breonna Taylor and how this all shook out, and as it continues. He joins us here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, George, welcome in, and how have you been?
Tom, I've been fine. Nice to be with you.
Well, tell us, first of all, where do we find your writings each day, which have attracted a national audience, George? Where do they go?
Well, I have a blog called knowledgeisgood.net. That's all one word, knowledgeisgood.net. And I'm also writing for the American Spectator. So you can find my articles at either location.
What jumps out at you, because we've gotten pretty good analysis of the case so far, what jumps out at you when you watch how the media is playing this, or what's de-emphasized or emphasized too much in this entire case, George?
Well, what jumps out at me is that what you had here was the police, who had ample probable cause to execute a search warrant at Breonna Taylor's apartment. And when they went to execute the warrant, they knocked and announced before they broke into the apartment. Her boyfriend came up shooting and hit one of the officers. The officers returned fire, and Breonna Taylor was caught in the crossfire and was killed. It was justifiable use of force by the police. Whether or not the boyfriend was justified in firing on the police remains to be seen, but certainly if he was unaware that these were the police coming in the middle of the night, I would contend that quite possibly even that was a justifiable use of force. So this was a calamity. You know, you had the police were being shot at, one of them got hit, and they returned fire, and Breonna Taylor got killed. So it's certainly not a crime on the part of the police.
The thing then, you started to get to it with the probable cause. The reason why they had probable cause is the previous boyfriend, who still apparently, according to news reports, was involved with her in some way, shape, or form. The stuff that he was involved in, the evidence that they have of surveillance, of GPS, and all the rest of him coming and going, disputes about getting parcels sent there that may or may not have contained fentanyl, for example. These were all things that made this hazardous. Now, I don't know about you, George, but for the police, I get it why they may want to do it in the middle of the night, maybe for their sake and for everything else. Certainly no-knock stuff, I think, has to go away here, given the tension and where we are for their safety also. But aside from that, this is something where she was in a circle of people that violence was a large part of it. That's where the probable cause came in.
Yeah, look, I mean, you got to understand, Breonna Taylor had been involved for years with a fellow named Jamarcus Glover. He's a 30-year-old, twice-convicted drug dealer. At one point in their relationship, Glover had Breonna Taylor rent an automobile for him, and then one of Glover's drug associates wound up shot to death behind the steering wheel of the car that Breonna had rented. And that wasn't enough to scare her off from the relationship. The relationship continued on for years. She posted bail for him on a number of drug charges. And then in the weeks leading up to the March 2020 raid at her apartment, when Glover, Jamarcus Glover, was in custody after yet another arrest, he and Breonna were recorded exchanging intimacies on the phone. And after that, police surveillance established that Glover continued to make regular trips to Breonna's apartment. And Breonna herself was seen outside a house investigators say was part of the drug trafficking operations. I mean, there's more that I can cite, but the point is that the police were executing search warrants at trap houses or drug stash locations as part of Glover's operation all over the city, and Breonna Taylor's apartment was just one of those locations. And when they went to execute the warrant, her current boyfriend, so-called, was not Glover. Glover was in jail, but one of her other boyfriends comes up shooting. He hits one.
Well, you lost George there, Dan?
Yep, sounds like it. Let me go.
Yeah, okay.
Hello?
George, we lost you. Continue, George. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't know where I went away, but anyhow.
But George, let me summarize and ask you in this way, too, that we want to be respectful, that no one is saying that you deserve to die because you were in this circle of friends. No one is saying that, but we're saying, I'm saying, and you appear to be saying, when you're in this circle over this long period of time, what's involved, the violence, the drugs, et cetera, that you're putting yourself in harm's way where a chaotic situation can result, and then we have this tragedy that she's dead.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And the one officer that was charged, there were three officers, the two who went into the apartment and mixed gunfire with her boyfriend, they were not charged. The third officer was outside, and he just started spraying bullets and shot up somebody else's apartment. So he clearly was in the wrong, and he's been charged. But in terms of causing the death of Breonna Taylor, there were no charges. And under the circumstances that they were exchanging the police were exchanging gunfire with her boyfriend, you know, it was a tragedy. She was caught in the crossfire.
Yeah, well, let me interrupt, George, and ask you, because you've actually had to do this and get your response. I have one, but I trust yours. People are saying, well, why do they have to? I'm not, but you'll hear the media. Why do they have to fire so many times? What's the response to that in defense?
Well, you know, the fire so many times argument is pretty good unless you're being shot at. You know, it wasn't as if only one or two shots were fired by the boyfriend. They were in a gunfight.
Right.
They were in a gunfight. One of them had been hit. And to say, well, you know, you should limit yourself to one shot or, you know, three shots, four shots is too many. I mean, who's counting at this point? They're in a gunfight. And when lead's flying, people are going to shoot. That's just how it works.
And I would add, too, with the type of weapons we have now, too, you know, this happens in a heartbeat, the number of shots that can be fired on both sides.
Yeah. I mean, well, her boyfriend, who was doing the shooting, he had a 9mm Glock. That's got, you know, that can hold 17 rounds. And you can fire them just as fast as you can pull the trigger. So they're getting shot at. They're returning fire. And, yeah, the weapons that police have now, everybody has for that matter, you can get off a tremendous number of shots and you can do it very quickly. And under the stress of the situation and the confusion and the chaos, it's, you know, I think when you start counting the number of shots, that's really a pointless argument.
Exactly. Where do we find you again, George Perry?
Well, I'm at knowledgeisgood.net and the American Spectator, but please subscribe to my blog. It's free. Knowledgeisgood.net.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.